the Lord has given me a good message, which has blessed me. And I believe it will bless you all as well. The topic, the title to tonight's message is Our Father. And, you know, there's some people they call, in their denomination, they call their, some of their ministers Father or the Holy Father. Years ago, again, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, I was invited to a quote-unquote charismatic Catholic church service on Rampart Street, Jesus the Life, or something like that. So, you know, we went, and I guess I was saved, I don't know, 5 years, or more or less. And after the service, somebody introduced me to the pastor, and they said, this is Father John, and Father John, this is that, that does that matter? I mean, I'm too low? Okay. How's that? That better? Put it on my lip, Jason? Piercing? New piercing? So they introduced me to Father John and said, Father John, this is Paul. Paul, this is Father John. And I said, John, how you doing? And he says, Father John. And I thought, you're not my father, you know. Yeah. And but he, I guess that's the title they gave him, but not everyone that calls himself father or rabbi or something like that, that's legitimate. But we know that Jesus knew his father, right? And he spoke what the father taught him to say. Jesus said, the words that I speak, you know, they come from the father. Jesus had to pray to get to hear and learn what God's will was for him. Of course, going to the cross. I also believe when he had, you know, prayed for the next day, for ministry, what he would do, what the Father wanted him to do. We have to hear God's voice. We have to know his voice so you can hear his voice. Because there's all kinds of voices. It's your own mind sometimes, your own spirit, the other people talking, religious men, worldly people. But we need to know God's voice so we can hear it and understand it and then do what he says. But most people don't know his voice. They're just clueless to that. Now, when we read God's word, we hear his thoughts. We hear God's thoughts, right? They are in our minds. And it says, for who has known the mind of the Lord? But, you know, I was thinking about that. His thoughts then are his words, and we hear his words or read his words. We have the thoughts of the eternal, perfect Father in our minds. And I was just kind of thinking about that, and like, you mean God, his thoughts, his mind, his purpose, are in my mind, my little mind, you know, and he's this immense mind, knowing everything perfectly. Those thoughts are in my head, and because he's my father and he speaks to me and you. Amen. And it just kind of overwhelmed me, because most of what we hear is what men or women say. You know, I think this, I say that, even brethren, you know, well, I think, you know, we need to do that, do that. But our minds are so small and limited, right, compared to God's mind. But to have his thoughts in my mind, it's like putting jet fuel in a lawnmower. You know, I had trouble, you know, and then sometimes as you seek in the Lord and when he gives me scriptures to say, it's kind of like, wait, hold on, let me get that one first one down first, because it seems like he's moving that quickly. And my mind has trouble keeping up with that. But the fact that God would speak to us is overwhelming. Yeah. But, you know, I've said this before. I asked the Lord one time, I said, would you speak to me some more? He said, will you listen to me some more? So we got to get still. We got to listen. And with the idea, the intention that when we hear his word, his voice, that we're going to do the things that he says to do, right? Don't just be hearers, but doers of the word. So, you know, say somebody on a sports team, they go to practice, they learn the maneuvers of the plays or this, that. I got it, coach. I got it. I know what to do. Well, go show me. Let's see. That's when you really show that you understand it. So the Lord wants us to hear His word, hear His voice, and then do it. In Psalms 139:6, it says, "Such knowledge," you know, God's knowledge, "is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it." We're these little bitty people, if you will, trying to grasp the thoughts of God. But the Holy Spirit helps us, and the Holy Spirit guides and teaches us in all things, so we can comprehend it and grasp it for what He wants us to know. All right? We don't need to know everything about everybody. God handles that. But we do need to know His will for our life and what He wants us to do. Amen. But God's thoughts are too wonderful. They're too high. "I can't attain unto it," said the psalmist. And in Romans 11:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." I said it before, I kind of get at my age, you know, semi-retired, whatnot. I get really bored with what people say. Not the brethren, but the unsaved world. They talk this stuff, and I'm like, this is so boring. This is so juvenile. You know, this is, you know, is that all you got? You know, give me some more. And then you get fellowship with the brethren, and they'll share something God has said. Or you read the word, and your heart sometimes burns with desire and passion as He's speaking to you. It's, and so the things of the world, you know, like I said before, grow strangely dim. Give me the words of the Lord that minister life to my spirit and health and strength. But the words of man, not interested anymore, you know, for the most part. All right. And I'm not putting men down. I'm just trying to describe how high and perfect and wonderful what God says is. And He's always righteous. Everything He says, there's not any trickery or, you know, any manipulation. He just speaks the truth. And and with His wisdom and knowledge, it can be overwhelming. But by His grace, we can comprehend it. And then we do it, and we're blessed, and others are blessed. Now, the Father, you know, by Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and by His word, He will speak to His children. If you're born again, God is your Father, because He is the one who gave us life, right? So He becomes our Father. Our earthly Father gave us life, but then we need to be born again, and that happens when the Father gives us life, and our spirits are raised from the dead unto newness of life. So He's our Father. But if you're not born again, He's not your Father. But so many people in the religious crowd, they'll try to speak in the place of God, but it's contrary to what God has said. They'll kind of mumble, you know, some things, and I think this, and our creed and our denomination says this and that. And they're just mumbling and babbling the words of men. Not too interested in that. But give me something that God has said that expresses God's will for my life and others' life. That's what I want. I want to hear His voice, know His will, and then by His grace, do it. And, you know, in the doing is how we become transformed. John 8:26, "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true. And I speak the word, I speak to the world those things which I have heard of Him." Now, Jesus, when He, you know, emptied Himself, became a no reputation, and was born of a virgin, became a man, still God, but He had to pray and seek the Father to know God's will. And because He became a man, He emptied Himself of His godly power for the most part. But He still is God and always was God and will be God. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. You know, in one place, I was talking to some guy, some oneness Christian, and he said, there's one God. Jesus is the Father. The Father is the Holy Spirit. There's just one, but one person. I said, no, there's three persons. Jesus said the Father loves the Son. So if it's just one person, you're trying to say the Father loves himself, you know? No, there's three persons, and God will speak to us what we need to know, and Holy Spirit will teach us, like I said, and guide us into all truth. You need not that any man teach you, especially the things of men, not too interested, but give me the things of God. And that's what my spirit craves, because it wants to grow, it wants to learn. And I believe in heaven we'll continue to learn, because he's called the everlasting Father. He's always going to be our Father. You know, some of the cults try to say, well, when we go to heaven, we'll be like God, like his essence. We'll be own gods with a planet or something ridiculous like that. No, we come to the Father only by the grace of God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And he will always be our Father, and we will be his redeemed children. We're nothing without him, but in Christ we have all things that pertain to us. So there's never any exaltation of man. Now, people that don't know God or his voice, they will exalt themselves, right? They'll create doctrines, and they'll say different things. And I'm thinking, but God never said that. Why are they preaching that? Because they don't know his voice. And you can talk to them, and they don't understand what you're saying. But we trust God, say you're witnessing or something, that his word will go forth with power, and it will bear fruit when it's planted in good soil. But as far as their understanding, it's so foreign to them because they don't know the Father. They don't know his voice. So where was it? John 8:26. I speak of those things which I heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father. You know, she said, I speak of those things which I have heard of him. Who are you talking about? Who's talking to you? Somebody said one time that Jesus did his ministry as a disciple of John the Baptist. Like he learned everything from John the Baptist. No, not really. John came to prepare a way for him. But Jesus knew what he knew as God on the earth, as man, from what the Father taught him, not from what any man taught him. Okay, pertaining to spiritual things. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. He's saying, I'm going to go to the cross, and you're going to realize this is not something that I wanted to do. This is something that the Father gave me, an assignment or a purpose. The main purpose was to be crucified to bring life to every creature that would receive it, right? He didn't want to do it. And a lot of times God will give us assignments, and, you know, I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. Like they say in New Orleans, I ain't doing that, you know, I ain't doing that. I was saved maybe a year, I think. It's been so long ago, it's like 50 years ago, you know. And I was having a hamburger at the barbecue burger place. I don't eat that stuff anymore as I've gotten older. But we're on Claiborne Avenue, and there was a table, and it had about six girls. And I was about 21. And the Lord said, go tell them about me. And I'm like, wait, what? You know, no, I don't want to do that. No 21-year-old boy wants to embarrass himself among, you know, some 19, 20-year-old girls, right? I didn't want to do it, but the Father said, do it. So I did. So they were, you know, talk. And I think God's gifted women to talk, but maybe not as much. But so anyhow, I go over there, and they're da, 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 da. I said, excuse me. And they all stopped and looked at me. And I said, I want to tell you, God has a plan for your life, something like that. God has a new life for you. So some of them, you know, went, you know, listen to this nut. But there was two or three that listened attentively. And those are the ones the Lord wanted to speak to. So God gives you an assignment. We need to do it. And, you know, there's something about when you hear God, he directs you, and you do it. You learn something about him. You learn something about you. And it's, to me, a joy to labor together with him. Because, you know, God was with them, working with them. And I have that up in the rest of the message. So Jesus said he always does the things that please the Father. Now, that's what I want to do. I don't always do that, but I would say that I'm want to do it more and more as I've walked further with the Lord, and the things of the world and the earth aren't that important anymore. Okay, so Jesus is the perfect Son. He is our example to follow. Now, the Pharisees did not reconcile the Father's voice. They did not recognize the Father's voice. Now, Jesus said, you're like whited tombs. I think on the outside, they look pretty serious, pretty religious, probably more religious than anybody I know. And yet he said, but inwardly, they were corrupt. So it's not just living your life in your own spirituality, doing your own thing, making up doctrines and sayings and different things like that. But it's, now you can do that and have a facade of religion, but it's about walking with the Lord. They didn't understand what Jesus said. Religious men who only follow man's customs and teachings do not know the Father nor his voice. And in John 8:54, Jesus answered to the Pharisees, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and I keep his sayings. You can't keep his sayings unless you know what they are. You know, when God says something, it's true. You can stand on that. You can stand, you know, keep on standing. And you won't falter. Now, if you try to stand on the words of men, the storms are going to come, and that little foundation of men is just going to collapse. And you won't have confidence. You won't have the assurance of what they say, because it's just the words of men. So we want to reject all things that men say, especially when they contradict what God has said, what Jesus has said. And Jesus, you know, said the priest did the deeds of their father, the devil. They could not understand what Jesus said unto them. So who is your Father? Is it Heavenly Father, or is it some other person that you're following? When we hear about all this destruction, you know, in the news, these political leaders of these countries, and they're killing and attacking, and they justify what they do for whatever reason. They're not hearing God's voice. They're hearing the voice of the devil who has come to steal, kill, and destroy. They do it without care. I'm going to do what I want, and nobody's going to stop me. And they'll fight you. They'll kill you if you get in the way. But those that know the voice of the Father won't have those thoughts in their minds. They won't believe and act according to the will of the devil. John 8:41-45. Again, you do the deeds of your Father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. That's what they said, but that wasn't true. He said, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear or understand my word? People don't understand when you're talking. Now, mentally, they might have some idea, but they don't understand the voice of God when you're speaking the words of God, because their Father is not God. They don't know his voice, but they know the voice of men and what they say. And then these false religions and cults and things, they have millions and millions of people, and they're all following the words of these men. And where are they going? They're not going to heaven with the Father. They're going to go someplace else. But why do they adhere to the words of men so strongly? Because that's all they know. That's all they can hear. But when you come with the light, when Jesus came with the light, with the truth, his sheep hear his voice, heard his voice, and followed him. And so do we. When I got saved and, you know, started growing with the Lord, it's like I took the table, the kitchen table, and wiped it clean of everything. I said, all right, show me how to live. Show me, speak to me and teach me what to do, what to say, how to talk, how to dress, how to act, how to pray, how to forgive. Teach me everything, how to drive my car. And I just emptied the table. Teach me, speak to me. And he has for almost 50 years. And I'm so thankful to that. And he has done it for you too. So Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he spake a lie, he spake of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. They wouldn't believe God's word through his son, but they believed what the devil said and did his deeds, right? So we know we do not pray vain repetitions in prayer, vain words, repeating them over and over and over and over. Those that do, they don't know the Father. They only hear the voices of men and don't know God's voice. Matthew 6, verse 6 through 8, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when you have shut the door, thy door, pray to the Father, not the mother, not his friend, not Saint so-and-so, or this person, or that person. Why would men teach such a ridiculous doctrine like prayer to the saints? Because they don't know the Father's voice. They don't know him. They don't know how to pray to him. So they come up with other stuff, you know, saint this, saint that, you know, patron saint of this, patron saint of that. It's all false. It's all the teachings of men. And we have to, we know to reject that and to receive what God has said. Back again when I was saved about a year, you know, going to church all the time, my dad, my earthly father, he said, we need to talk about this. Now, my dad was kind of reserved, and he didn't confront us that often. But this time, he wanted to talk to me. And, you know, in Italian families, the dad is respected and revered. And I'm like, uh-oh, here we go. So he started talking to me about things of the Lord. And he said something to the effect, and I said, no, I've met Jesus, I'm walking with Jesus, I'm a Christian now. He said, well, I'd like to see you do that through the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And that was hard for me to tell him no, because, you know, the respect. And he said, well, I'm your father, you need to listen to me. And I said, you're not my father anymore, God is. Now, I didn't mean to be disrespectful, it must have been the Holy Ghost, because I was being pressured to do something the Heavenly Father said not to do. And I did say, well, Dad, look, I'll go to the Catholic Church if you come with me. And he never did, so, and I never did either. So anyhow, the Holy Spirit gave me some words to deal with that situation, because I was too timid and intimidated to confront him with my own knowledge, my own words. So anyhow, you know, and I caught some flack for that. I caught some persecution, but the Lord took care of me, preserved me, blessed me. So we pray to the Father, not the mother. And one woman told me, you saying don't pray to Mary? I said, no, we pray to the Father through Jesus. She said, but that's against motherhood. And I'm like, what? Where do you get this stuff from, men that teach things like that? I told my dad at another time, I said, I pray to the Father. We don't need to pray to the saints. I said, why? If I needed something from you, I wouldn't go ask some kid down the street, will you tell my father I need something? No, I'd go directly to you. So he says, well, you know, sometimes God just gets busy. He's too busy. And I'm thinking, where did you get that from? From some man, some idea, not from the Father. He's not too busy. He's not too busy for anything like that. But men will say things. Demons sometimes will inspire them with heretical doctrines and things like that. But, you know, paying for indulgences and, you know, the Pope said and this one said and let's go to war and kill all the Muslims, you know, and do this. God's not speaking to them to do that. But the Holy Father said that was God's will. Well, you shouldn't be calling yourself Holy Father, and God is not saying things like that. I don't think it's that big of a deal, those lands over there. It's nothing so precious about that land. You heard about they gathered up all the splinters from the cross of Jesus. You heard about that? And they found enough to build 12 condominiums, you know, because enough wood to build 12 condominiums. Because man's always coming up with this stuff that is not what God has said. And that's what we did before we were saved, right? At least I did to some point. If I need counseling, I'm going to go to somebody who knows God's word, God's will, and knows the Father, not some therapist who got an education only but doesn't know God's word or this or that. But I see Dr. Emmanuel for my mental issues all the time. Dr. Jesus, right? Emmanuel. God's with him. That's who I want to hear from. That's who I want to talk to. I want him to talk to me. But not some secular person that doesn't know God's will for their life or my life. Now, what they do is their business. But what I do is my business. I'm not going to conform to that. So like I said, it gets so boring what they say and so weak comparing it to what God has said. Okay? So let's see, where are we? How to pray. We pray to our Father, and only His children can pray this way, because we are the only ones who can call Him Father. You know, a person that's not born again can't call God their Father. He's fixing to be their judge, right? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, if He's your Father, I reverence Him, but I'm not afraid of Him to destroy me, okay? But I reverence and respect Him, and I want to do His will, and I don't want to get chastened, you know, either, but I want to learn His will and do it. But I'm not terrified of Him. Before I was saved, I was, or should have been, but not now. Matthew 6, 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which is art in heaven, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, you know, our provision, and forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors or those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. I don't pray this repetitively, like in the denomination I came from. Say, five Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys. Right. Okay. It means nothing. They do the exact thing that Jesus said don't do. Don't pray dead words, repetitive prayers. But if they don't know the Father, that's all they know. They don't know how to. Father in heaven, when I pray, Father, I give you thanks. I give you praise. I come before you. I thank you for Jesus who saved me. I forgive all those who have sinned against me, and and I'll bring forth a need. Sometimes I'll just say, I'm not going to bring forth any need, any issue, any person. I just want to praise you and thank you and dwell on you and just me and you at this moment, and just stay there for a while. But as we have needs, that's what a father does. He provides for us, right? So, John 1, verse 10. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not, because man had drifted so far from God. And he is God. He was God when he was speaking to them. But they were so ungodly and so far away from God, they didn't know who he was. He came to his own, and his own received him not, you know, the Jews. But as many as received Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God and daughters of God, even to them that believe in his name. We come to Jesus, we know there's a power that God, there's a grace that changes us, that births us, the Holy Spirit does, and we become the sons and daughters of God. That's a profound statement for you know, what God wants to do and does for us. But the denomination I came out of said, look, 2 weeks after you're born, you get baptized, pour a little water over your head, and you're in. You're in. Now, you will go to purgatory for whatever time, but you're in. See, Jesus said, they believe, oh, I will preach the gospel, he that believes in me and is baptized shall be saved. So they say, see that? You got to get baptized. So let's get the babies baptized so they guaranteed heaven. Let's do it early, real quick. But God never said anything like that. You believe, and then your actions follow. And babies don't know the difference. But when you of age of accountability, you understand, receive Jesus as Savior, you're born again, you're a new creation, you're raised from the dead with him. Now, he said, be baptized in water, immersed, to demonstrate what you believe. And that's what water baptism is all about. It's not about going through some custom or some ritual, but that's all the heathens know. That's all the ungodly know. You know, the religious people always trying to do these things, you know. We piped unto you, you have not danced. We mourned unto you, you haven't wept with us. Look, we sacrificed this, we did that, and some extreme things the heathens would do, sacrifice their children or bring a worldly offering to them. They're trying to get God to do something by their behavior. God doesn't do things based on our behavior. He does it based on what we believe. And he wants us to believe what's true, and then our behavior follows that, right? So it's a big difference. But they don't know him, so they come up with all these rituals. You have to do your Christmas duty, your Easter duty. You got to wear this robe, red robe, and then a white little frilly thing for your first communion. All that's man-made. And I've said it before, that whole religion is man-made. I'm talking about Roman Catholicism. It never was born, birthed by God. It's something man put together, and men who didn't know the voice of God, and they put all this stuff together based on the function, the way the Roman Empire was structured. And it's a denomination of men, of men's teaching. And whatever they say, or whoever says something contrary to what God has said, we reject it. And I think we should try to be respectful to a degree, but I'm not calling Father John Father. He's John. And if he doesn't like that, sorry. Why would he want me to call him Father John? I guess he thought I was Catholic or something. But to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God will birth you if you're born again. You must be born again. And it's something God does. Man doesn't do it. Man can't contribute anything to that. Okay, it's what God does when we receive him by faith and want to obey him. We are God's adopted children. Only we can call him Father. Years ago, I read something about, I think it was in Brazil, you had these gangs of kids, and they run the streets. They pickpocket you, they might rob you, they might try to hurt you, because they're all rejected by the parents. Probably most of them were illegitimate. And that's kind of how we were, you know, wild children running around, no father to love us, to direct us, to care for us. And many of these kids were abused and whatnot. But then we get adopted and we come into his house. And it's like, okay, you're mine, I bought you. Now, this is how we do things. So he starts teaching, directing. And we should say, amen, Father, yes, Father. But sometimes we're like, nah, I don't know about that one, you know, because we still got those old ways. But God will persist, and we hold on in faith, seek his will, seek his word. He says he's at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it's not just what we do, but to want to. He changes our want to. What time did I have to stop? 8:30? Okay. I forgot. Okay. Because I know how much more I have. So, okay. So we want to, he's working in us. He's changing us. So we're not like those wild, worldly kids running all over. Listen to this. Listen to that. I think I've said this before. I have a brother, and he said he believes that after this life, that's it. Annihilation, nothing. And I said, who taught you that? Some man, right? Some man did, or some demon, man, both. But that's not what God has said. Point unto man wants to die, then there's the judgment. Oh, I don't like that. It's still true, and you will experience that. Oh, no, I believe this because some man told me. A man, what man? A man who didn't know the Father. A man who didn't know God's will or didn't speak God's will. So we want to reject all those things, right? Okay, Romans 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God and daughters. For they have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And I've said this before, after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, about 2 weeks after I was saved, some of my first tongues were Abba, Abba. and I didn't know what that was. Abba, what does Abba mean? I speak poquito Espanol, you know, pretty good English, I think, at times. But Abba, that doesn't mean anything. Then I'm reading this scripture, you know, Romans 8. That's why it's so important for young Christians to devour the Word of God, because he starts changing your thinking and your believing belief system. So I started saying Abba, Abba, and because I was an adopted child of God. The Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You ever have the devil or some thought say, you're not a Christian. Look what you did. You can't be if you did that. And I would say, I did worse than that. And God, that you don't know about, you know, just trying to counteract his temptation. And God has forgiven me of all of that. Get thee hence, you know. And so we want to reject all thoughts that come negatively about us not being the children of God. It's not based on what you do. It's based on what you believe. And then your acts follow that. Your lifestyle follows that. Amen. Not perfectly, but it should be getting better and better as we walk with the Lord. And if you sin, ask God for repentance, turn from that, and turn to God with all your heart. Or if you sin again, ask God to forgive you, repent, turn back to God. Okay? He said, Peter said, seven times shall I forgive? The Father said, 70 times seven. So as much as is needed. Peter was talking about when his fellow man. So God will forgive as needed if you turn to him. But don't get under condemnation, and don't let the devil or any other person say something about you that's contrary to what God has said. Okay. Now we know the prodigal son returned to his father's, to the father, his father. But some haven't. And I've shared this before. Some Christians may not have. Luke 15. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now the father didn't say, you, after all you did, you took all your inheritance from me, and then you wasted it, and now you coming back? No way, buddy. No, you go somewhere else. You go work with the servants or something. Now the father saw him far off. God watching for us, looking for us, sending labor before we're saved, sending laborers to us to reach us, to speak God's word, so we would turn to him and come to him with full assurance that he would receive us. Okay? And so the father saw him, embraced him, forgave him. He probably stank like a pig's pen, right? Put a robe on him, shoes on his feet, and the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And that's how we are before we're saved. We're not worthy for eternal life. We're not worthy to be loved and accepted and blessed by God. We're just not. We're corrupt. We should. The Lord told me I should have gone to hell five times the way I lived before, and I was just kind of an average New Orleans kid. But God received me and loves me. I'm not going to hell once or twice or anything. I have eternal life with him because he loves me, and he demonstrated that through his son. And then it said, there's great joy in heaven when one, Luke 15, I say to you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So they had a big celebration when the prodigal came home. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, robe, and bring here the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now, I think some people come to the Lord through Jesus and are saved, but they don't experience that kind of love from the Father. They're still maybe a little afraid of, you know, am I worthy? Did I sin too much? You know, and maybe they hang out with the servants in the yard, and they ask the servants, can you go get me something to eat from the kitchen? You know, I made that analogy before. But God wants us to come. The Father wants us to come directly to him through Jesus. Jesus has made the way, and find his embrace, his love, his forgiveness, and live our Christian life knowing he's our Father who has accepted us. But some don't seem to know it that well. I don't think they spend enough time with the Father. I can remember maybe it's 40 years ago, and I was just so blessed. God's presence came into the room. Now, He doesn't always do that. We walk by faith, but this time His presence was so strong, so overwhelming. You know, I was in tears and thanking God for what He did. And I remember clutching my pillow like I would hold God, and I said, "Father, this is so wonderful. I'd rather die than live without You." And He said, "I'd rather die than live without you." And when He talks like that, it overwhelms you. I had never heard anything like that in religious upbringing or anything. But He spoke to me, and He said that, and He did. Jesus did die because He loves me, and He doesn't want to spend eternity without me. Well, am I special? Am I great? No, He is great. But love doesn't see the wrong. You know, man would probably never say anything like that. But the Father spoke to me that way. And that's when He gets a hold of your heart. That's when you're willing, you know, that's why some would be eaten by the lions in the Colosseum. Others were stoned because you're not just thinking about all this. You've experienced it, His salvation. And He's no respecter of persons. He'll do that for all of us. But we need to spend time with Him and fellowship with Him, reading His Word, praying, doing His will, and we get to know Him more and more and more. Okay, when we come to God, we must encounter the Father's love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Many don't encounter the Father, but they still think they are unworthy or afraid of the Father. One man, relatively young man, he's having a lot of problems in his life, grew up in the church, Baptist church, and he said he thinks God hates him. Why? The Father's not going to tell you He hates you, right? But he was convinced God hates him, and that's why these bad things were going on in his life. Now, I do believe God was dealing with him, trying to draw him, but God doesn't hate him. But that's what he thought, because he was listening to the wrong voices. And I worked with a woman, a Baptist lady, and she said she's mad with God because her life's not going the way she wants it to. You're mad at God because He didn't do what you wanted Him to do? No, you should be doing what He wants you to do, you see. But she didn't get that kind of reasoning from spending time with the Father and hearing His voice or reading God's Word, you know. But that's how most people are. They don't know the Father. And neither of these people knew the Father very well. They may not have been saved either. I heard my daughter Jolie, who sang here once, she was at a church and there was, you know, music ministry, and she got a degree in worship from the local university, and pretty amazing what she can do. But she was with this one church youth group, worship team and stuff like that, and they were associated with a national group, I think it was Bethel, and they had kids there that were abused by their earthly fathers. So they taught them, pray to the Holy Spirit. Don't pray to the Father, because if you had a bad father and, you know, he did bad things and whatnot. So pray to the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus said, pray to the Father. Right. Now, I do. I thank Holy Spirit. I thank You for Your power. I thank You for teaching me. I thank You for raising me from the dead with Christ. Father, I thank You. Jesus, thank You. Now, I pray to all three, but the majority is I pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So you may have had a bad father. I had a pretty good father as far as unsaved fathers go. But if you had a bad father, learn this is a whole different type of father. This is the true Holy Father. This is the one who loves you, sent His Son to die for you, loves you immensely, wants you to be with Him for eternity. He's not like that worldly evil father or that one who left the family or something like that. So we need to know who the Father is, spend time, prayer, read His Word, and you will then pray to a whole different Father. When I came to the Lord, I had an idea of what the Father was like, but after meeting Him, walking with Him, He is so much more and so much more wonderful, so much more full of depth and wisdom. like I said, how can I understand all of that? But he's it doesn't matter what your earthly father was like. Your heavenly father is nothing like that. He's perfect in all his ways. Okay, Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. The way to the Father is narrow, and the gate is narrow. Okay, you know, you hear some people say the road to salvation is narrow. Jesus said that, and the way is narrow, the door is narrow. Well, they say, I got to walk the straight and narrow. You've heard that. I got to walk the straight and narrow way, you know. And, I can't go off here. You know, they maybe have 20 commandments that they know. I can't do this. I can't do that. I got to walk the straight and narrow. Well, Jesus didn't say that was the straight and narrow. He said he is the straight and narrow path. No man comes to the Father but by me. You only can enter in the gate by him. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, the narrow gate, the narrow door. For wide is the gate and broad is the way, the pathway that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight, narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way, pathway that leads unto life. And few there be that find it from the Father. They're still trying to earn it by doing something, or others try to enter into the kingdom of God without going through that small door, which is Jesus. You know, imagine the kingdom of God surrounded by these high, high walls, and there's a little bitty door, you know, about your height or a little taller, and about this wide, and that's the only way through. Well, man, you know, he'll try to do like the Romans built these siege towers. You know what I'm talking about? These big structures. And they would, soldiers were in, and they'd wheel it up to the wall. And then they'd jump over. Planks would fall down, and they'd jump into the city and try to kill the enemy that way. Or some might take grappling hooks and try to throw it on the wall and climb up. God, the walls guarding God's kingdom, preventing others from entering in, are so high. You never, ever could do anything like that. And and I believe God has sentinels, like from the Garden of Eden, angels with flaming, fiery swords, keeping everybody out. You're not coming in the kingdom in any way you think you can by your own works. They built the Tower of Babel because they were trying to ascend up to God, and God shut that down quick. And Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter in. Well, and it says the disciples were astonished. Let's read. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying, who then can be saved? Well, what about a poor man? Is it easier for a poor man to enter the kingdom of heaven? No, he can't get in either. He's like a bird trying to go through the eye of a needle. And what about a middle income person? Can he enter into the kingdom of God? Well, that's like a dog trying to get through. He can't get through either, because Jesus said, with men it's impossible to enter the kingdom, but with God all things are possible. So it's not only the rich that can enter in, no one can enter in. And Jesus was describing an impossibility. I believe it's a literal needle, a little bitty hole, maybe a little bigger than when they use bone and stuff. But a camel's not going through there. Neither is a dog or a bird or a worm or a butterfly. Nothing's getting through there. He was describing an impossibility, not a difficult task. When I was a kid in the denomination, they said, well, in the big door, you had a little door, and the camel had to unload its burden and kind of crawl through on his knees. Have y'all heard that? Well, Jesus wasn't describing a difficulty. He was describing an impossibility. It was a literal needle, I believe he was talking about, and a literal camel. And like I said, the disciples said, well, who then can be saved? Only those who come through the door, and that door is Jesus.
Amen.
Okay. And only the righteous will enter in. Psalm 36:6 says, thy righteousness is like the great mountains. God's righteousness is so high. Mount Everest, right? Even higher. And our righteousness is like little grains of sand or less. When I was in engineering school, one of the classes we took, it was strength of soils. So we'd have to classify different soils. So you'd go dig some soil. We couldn't say mud, soil, okay? And you'd put it in a series of sieves, you know, a round cylinder with a screen on it, big screens and little screens, and you'd shake them up, and at the bottom you had little tiny, you know, you had rocks, gravel, and you had maybe large sand, small sand, and you got down to the silts and the powders, ultra-fine particles. Well, our righteousness is smaller than those little bitty powders, and God's righteousness is like the great mountains. We never will attain to that, but religious people try to. So they might go from a grain to a grain and a half, you know. But you're comparing that to the mountains. We need his righteousness. But the Bible says we are made the righteousness of God in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he has made him to be sin for Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus. Amen. So we have his righteousness. Everything's through Jesus, not of ourselves. So we have the righteousness that's needed to enter into heaven. I heard one woman said she had a vision, this was way back, and she was in the presence of God, but she wasn't saved. And she said, being in the presence of holy, glorified Christ, burning in hell would have been better, because of the conviction that she experienced being face to face with the resurrected Jesus. She said, I'd rather burn. It was so overwhelming. Okay? So we need the righteousness of God through Jesus to enter in. And as we enter in through that door, through his sacrifice, we are forgiven, we are pardoned, we're made righteous in God's sight. And when you start looking at yourself and feeling some condemnation, look unto Jesus, and knowing that you have peace with God, eternal life with God, through Jesus, who is, he took our unrighteousness and gave us his righteousness in exchange. But they don't know the Father very well. Like the prodigal son's brother, I don't think he knew his father too well. He had his friends, right? He went, I'd have a party with my friends and all this. But I don't think he knew the Father that well. Because if he did, he would have enjoyed God's provision and wouldn't have been upset when the prodigal came home. Okay? So we need to understand all what God has provided for us and rejoice in that and be thankful. Not just barely get in through a few good works. Now, God loves his children forever, right? He doesn't love you and then, no, I don't like you anymore. You know, like two teenagers dating. I don't like you anymore. I'm leaving, you know. It's eternal. He will never stop loving his children. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And our Father also provides for his children. Philippians 4, God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And in John 16, and in that day, when Jesus is saying, when he would leave, you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Have you ever prayed something important, and you got that answer? It overwhelms you with joy. The God of heaven listened to my prayer through Jesus, heard me, and he answered it. That's like overwhelms you. It overwhelms me. And hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So you say, I can ask anything. Heard one woman had gray hair and she wanted black hair again. But that's not what he's talking about. You know, one girl said all she wanted was a cute boyfriend and a cute car. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about needs that you have pertaining to your walk and your life with the Lord. Now, he had trained these fellas for 3 years approximately. He knew them. They knew him as far as the way he lived. So he's saying, ask anything. Now, this was in John's gospel. In 1 John, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So you've got to know God, learn of him, pray according to his will. He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of him. Pray in faith, knowing his will. Ask according to his will, and he hears you. And if he hears you, you have the answers to those prayers. Okay? But come in faith, not doubting, not wavering, not uncertain. Know his will, and he will answer those prayers. All right? That's what he said. You may doubt, I may doubt, but that's what he said. I'm going to believe what he said and not the words of men. Okay? And the religious crowd, they don't know anything about this. They don't know their father. They don't know how to pray. They always, I hope so, maybe, you know, I'll do these indulgences or I'll make this sacrifice. But God's people need to know that. Our Heavenly Father will meet every need. Now, our Father also teaches his children, Matthew 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. You know, the Sermon on the Mount, he saw the multitude, and he said, told the disciples, you guys, y'all come up. I'm going up there. He was speaking to his disciples, and he opened his mouth and taught them. God wants to teach us. The Father wants to instruct us. I grew up, I was always listening, trying to listen to what my father said when I was little, because I knew he was giving me good advice, and I trusted what he said. I wanted to learn from him, not my knucklehead friends. They were as dumb as I was, okay? But when my father spoke, or my uncles or something like that, I wanted to listen. I wanted to learn. I wanted them to teach me things that I didn't know. But some, you know, teenagers, or they think they know everything and they don't want to listen to anybody because they think they know everything. No, they know more than they ever knew before. But they don't know anything compared to what they have yet to learn, right? And that's the problem with some young people. But God's merciful and patient, and he will teach us the things that we need to learn. Our Father corrects his children. 1 Corinthians 11:31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You know, your parent will correct the child so he doesn't get hurt or get destroyed. God will chasten us. He says to judge ourselves. I always try to examine myself. Now, wait a minute, what's this? Why did I do this? What was my motive? And when I found out it's not in God's will, by his grace, I'll repent of that. I'll turn away from that. See, that's God dealing with us to both the will and to do of his good pleasure. Hebrews 12, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son or daughter whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with his sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not? Our Father protects his children. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper, Isaiah 54. Psalm 91, no evil shall befall thee, Psalm 56. What time I'm afraid, I will trust him. I get afraid, you know, big storm coming. You know, here we go again. Father, I look to you. I can't control that too much. I look, help me, Father. Protect me. I'm looking to you. Or I've cried out many times, Father, I need you. Help me in this situation. Show me what to do. Shine your light on my path, because I don't want to misstep and get off your path for my life. So he will protect us. He'll guide us. Our Father also assigns tasks, ministry to his children. Jesus said, my Father works hitherto, and I work. Luke 2, I must be about my Father's business, said young Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3, we are laborers together with God. You know, when you work with someone, you get to learn a lot about them, right? Yeah. On the job site when I was building, you meet somebody, and he'll say this and this, and he can do this. And well, let's work together. We'll find out what you really can do or can't do. So when you labor with the Lord, you learn a lot. You learn more about him. You learn some things about yourself, you know. And we learn and grow when we labor with him. Philippians 2, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And he teaches us through experience and situations that he brings to us. Man can't hide from God. God is omnipresent. God knows everything. Psalm 139. I'm sure many of y'all know this. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. See, he knows everything about us. Some try to hide from God. Hallelujah. I'm reading my Bible. God knows everything. You know, you can't put up a facade. You know, I'm good. One young man said, I'm a good man. And I thought, no, you're not. Why you say stuff like that? Because he doesn't know the Father. Okay. Good compared to who? Devils, evil people. But you can't hide from God. He knows everything. So don't try to hide. Just lay there open, you know, everything revealed to him. Search and try me. Okay. You knowest my down sittings and my uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. You compass my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. How can we comprehend that? But he's God, the eternal Father, he who made everything we see and know. Before him, there was no other God. He's eternal and will always be. There's no limitation to God. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. He's everywhere. You know, Jesus prayed, our Father who art in heaven. He's in heaven, but he's everywhere else too, right? Yeah. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uppermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hides not from me, but the night shineth as in the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto you. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in thy mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and thy soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when yet there was none of them. How precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. When God thinks about you, he doesn't say, oh no, not him again. He says, this is my precious child. This is the one who I wooed and drew him to me and sent my son to die for him. He's precious in my sight. I love my children. Okay? How great is the son. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Show me myself, Lord. I don't want to pretend. I don't want to fake it. I want to know what's true, and then I want you to teach me to walk in your ways, in your mercy and your grace. He'll do it. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the path and the way everlasting. Okay, two more scriptures. Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You know, people, we always think, I'm getting saved, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to get this, I'm get that. But we've got to realize Jesus is bringing us back to the Father. He's a real person. He's God, the Father. And I've said this before. Maybe it's controversial. But Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Where I am, you will be also. I want to be where Jesus is. And I believe Jesus is in the bosom of the Father. That's where I want to go. Now, the rest of the stuff, you know, houses and all that, it's not that important to me. You know, but somebody told me, and he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Somebody said that word mansions in the Greek means mansion. Okay, well, I looked up in an old Webster's dictionary. The old English word for mansion is dwelling place. They are rooms, I believe, in the house of God. You can't have a house in a house. But anyhow, I want to be where Jesus is. And he's preparing a place for me. And whatever he's preparing for me, that's what I want. But I don't want to be far away from the Father. I don't want to have to travel miles and miles to go see him. I want to be in his house. My children were in my house, and that's where I wanted them, you know, until they grew up. So Jesus said unto him, John 14, on the way, the truth, the life, no man comes unto the Father. That's where we want to come to. And Jesus brings us there. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him not, you know him and have seen him. Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient, it suffices us. Jesus said to him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus demonstrated the character of God, his love, his mercy, his righteousness, his holiness, his power. He, what we could see, you can't see the Father because he's not visible. But through Jesus, we could see the Father's character and personality, if you will. When we enter into eternal life in heaven, through Jesus, we will be enveloped in the love and the presence of the Father for eternity. He's not going to be somewhere else too busy to talk to us. No, we're right there with him. And now he'll always be the Father, will always be his redeemed children by the blood of Jesus, right? Revelations 5, last scripture, 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou, Jesus, art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God, to the Father, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth, I think, during the millennium. Okay? But he's bringing us to the Father. We need to know the Father. We need to learn from him. We need to gain experience with him. We need to walk like Jesus walked, as children of God our Father. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that's all I have. I give thanks to God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for what you have provided for us. The greatest thing is that relationship as your sons and daughters. And we know that we will be with you forever through the sacrifice of Jesus. Until that time, we want to finish the course that you've given us. And when we're done, we will be with you forever. Amen.